Welcome back to Keeping Track, everyone. Today, we talk to Natoya Gould-Toppin, Jamaican 800-meter runner who is a two-time Olympian and just reset her own 800-meter national record, running a blazing 1:55 at the Prefontaine Classic after just missing the final at the World Championships. The last few years, Natoya has been on the cusp of reaching the podium at the World Championships, finishing as high as fifth outdoor and fourth indoor at the World Championships. She's a multi-time NCAA champ at her alma maters of LSU and Clemson. She has been running on the world stage for quite a few years now and was winning things as a junior in Jamaica, winning the champs in the 800, 1500, and 3000 as a kid in Jamaica, and is just continuing her winning ways now. So we had a great time hearing about her life on the track and off the track. And one quick announcement, as part of my fundraiser for the And Mother New York City marathon training fundraising journey that I'm on, we have about 50 days left to hit the $5,000 goal. We're making headway thanks to everyone who's donated, especially Saucony, who gave a generous donation. And as part of this, Alicia and I are going to have a live Zoom Keeping Track podcast. We're going to talk marathon mom talk with guest Melindy Elmore. She's a Canadian marathoner. She came within seconds of the Canadian record in Berlin a few weeks ago, and she already qualified for the Canadian Olympic marathon team, most likely for Paris 2024. She's really interesting. She was a 1500 runner, made the Olympics, took a little break, came back, and in her 40s is running really amazing marathon times. Even if you can't make the talk, you might want to register just to enter our sweepstakes. We're going to give away lots of Saucony gear, including two outfits and two pairs of shoes. So check it out, October 24th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for keeping track. Okay, hi, Natoya. We're here with Natoya Gould-Toppin now, correct?
Yes.
You got married this year or last year?
No, actually 4 years now.
Oh, okay. What, did you only just now change your name, or did World Athletics just take a while to catch on?
Okay, so I'd requested it before with J3s, but they said they did not get a reply or something like that. Oh. And then I used it at trials this year, and they actually reached out to my agent and asked me if I want to run. Like, they changed the name to Toppin on the website, and I was like, yes, I've been trying that.
Okay, so you've been married for 4 years, and we only just now see the Toppin. This is the stuff the ladies have to go through, all the name changes. But now we're different in the results. That's why I never bothered. I was like, whatever, I'm keeping my name.
Yes.
Well, congrats to your 5-year anniversary.
Yes, thank you.
So Natoya, I'll do a quick intro offline, but just real quick, you're a Jamaican record holder, 2-time Olympian in the 800. And we've been wanting to talk to you for a while. You're always just right in the mix in the Diamond Leagues and World Championships. So yes, we're happy to learn more about you. And we'll start with, like, where are you now, and what did you said you just had some off-season relaxing time. So, like, what does that look like for you after going all the way through the Diamond League final, World Championships, and everything?
Well, after the Diamond League finals, I went to Jamaica. Me and some of my friends, we were on the North Coast enjoying ourselves, and now I'm back in the U.S., but I'm still not back home, and then I will be heading off to another part of my vacation with my husband in Trinidad, and then come back to the U.S. and then, you know, start back a little running, because, you know, you can't take off too much unless it's going to be hard to get back into it. But, you know, after coming off Worlds, I didn't make the finals. I was a little bit disappointed, but, you know, I had that peace inside, so I knew that something greater is coming. And then to know, because I know the type of shape I was in, and then to go to Diamond League finals and run a personal best and national record. My coach and I, we weren't surprised, but because we know of the shape that I was in, but it was still a special moment for both of us. And also my husband, we were super stunned. We were happy. I think he dropped a tear. He said, You know, so it was a special moment for us. And to know that, you know, I'm still in the midst with these youngsters because I'm actually 11 years older than a thing and Keely. And, you know, I was still in the top three at the finals, you know, when I was born. Some of these kids were just, they weren't even in the, you know that they were going to warn. So to still be there in the midst at this age, you know, I'm super stunned and super happy.
Yeah, that's great. Like, so you're 32 age range, and you're running faster than you ever did at 22. So next year is going to be exciting.
Yes, and I think a lot of persons probably, you know, with distance races, the older you get, I guess you can run faster. But with me, because when I started out as a professional athlete, I was just averaging 159. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. So now I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to do in practice. So now the result is showing as I get older. So for those that are confused, that's the reason why.
Yeah, I would love to hear. So you train, you're in South Carolina right now. Is that where you train? What does your training look like? 'Cause I know you're sprint based, or at least you used to be, 'cause you've run 4x4s, like you're fast. What does your training look like that gave you that next jump? Like, was it more endurance work or more weight room, or like what do you do that's helped you reach your potential?
Well, for a lot of persons who did not know, I actually thought I was going to be a 1500 runner when I was in high school because I used to run a lot of road races. I used to do the 15 to 3000, and I used to win them all. And actually, when I fast a 1500 meters before I run a fast 800 meters, and then I run 2 or 3, I was like, oh, I'm going to run the 800. So, like, I basically train like I'm a 1500 meter runner right now because I'm naturally fast. I got the natural speed, so I have to make sure I build on the endurance part of it. So my runs are looking like I can go and run a fast under 4 minutes, 1500 meters. But you know, when you're not running that event or you're not running it a lot, you won't be able to show that result. And for me and my coach, we're trying to work on that. I told him that I want to be able to, you know, run a fast 1500 meters because when I do that, I can run a fast 800 meter because that helps a lot. And with my training now, well, coming up, I don't know what he have in store, but in the past, you know, I always ensure that I have a great background training, ensure that I, whenever I go on my runs, I put a great effort out there, try to have it at least six under 6:30, because that first time I never used to average. I don't think I even used to average 7 minutes when I just started out as a professional athlete because I didn't know much about, you know, how much miles I got off to run. And I asked my coach, how much miles and what average pace should I do? And he told me, but I saw that I was running faster. So each time I run, I try to improve what I did before. And that has helped me over the years to become faster. And that's why, if you look at my stats, when I run 159 three, it dropped to 156 because of that. Because I was putting in the workout on the track, but I was not putting the workout when I go for my long runs. So when I started to put in that effort in my long runs and my legs actually moving faster and faster on my long runs, that helped me a lot on the track when I went to run my 800.
So you had to get more strength for the eight. What kind of mileage do? Like, what is a normal week in training if you don't have a race coming up?
Well, every time someone asks me how much miles do I do, I'm like, I don't know, because I don't count it up. When you're an 800 runner, we're not like you guys, distance runners, that know how much
It all
miles
down
go.
in a little notebook.
No, I just go and I know my, with my runs how much miles I do. But when you add up the track stuff, I don't know. I really don't know. But I think maybe 40 something to 50, I'm not
Okay.
sure.
If you do, like,
But
what's your longest run of the week would be like how long?
like, well, it kind of changed it up because we complain a lot about have to run so long.
Long run
So it used to
day.
be, it used to be 1 hour and 15, but now he likes let us do like 1 hour
Okay.
each long run day. We still add up to what he wanted. So I'm basically training like a 1500-meter runner.
So who do you train with, Natoya? Do you have anyone to help you get through the hard workouts? And can you tell us a little bit about your coach? Is he your college coach, or how did you get hooked up with the group, if there is a group?
Okay, yes. So I am training with college students. And then you have a few professional guys. So I train with them. So I'm training with the professional guys, which they are faster than I am. But then you have some guys in the group that are average runners as well that will run around what I'm running. So I get to train with them as well. My coach, he recruited me in high school. He's also a Jamaican coach. He was a distance runner for Jamaica before Kemoy Campbell break all his records. He used to have all those records. His name is Mark Elliott. He also went, he went to LSU, which was where I went for the first time. He recruited me to LSU, but first I went to a junior college, which was South Plains College. Then I went to LSU, and then he got a head coaching job at Clemson University. And I went to Clemson University with him as well, where I competed my last 2 years of college. 1 year I had to sit out because I wasn't eligible to run yet. And then my last year I competed was 2015. So after that, I stayed with him, became a professional athlete. And from then till now, I've been training with him. And I've seen so many athletes pass through Clemson, and I'm still training with them. So each year there's somebody that comes in that I am able to keep up with. Sometimes even the fast boys, I'm breathing down their necks based on the last rep because I easily recovered, So, but now, I haven't been back yet, so I don't know how the group is. But I still have persons to train with, the guys. I wish I will have more girls that will help. We do have a girl, a new girl from Kenya, Gladys, that she's running cross country now. So, but she is an 800 runner. So I will be training with her as well. And I can't wait to see what she can do, how I can help her out, how she can help me out. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, she'll probably be. I'm sure the women are so excited. Well, yeah, and the guys like are really excited when you work out with them because you are probably such a good mentor. And do you give them advice ever, or do they just are they ever like starstruck by having you at practice?
I don't know about the starstruck part of it because they're used to me. But I know, they're probably excited. I don't really ask them, but they don't probably show it, but they probably are. And I love to give advice no matter where I am. If I'm with you and I see you're looking nervous, or I'm going to speak with you, I'm going to talk with you, I'm going to say, hey, it's going to be okay. No matter where I go, I always try to encourage someone because you never know what they're going through. It might be their first time. It might be, some of the few last races that they're going to compete in and they want to do well, So I try to encourage anyone, even men. I try to
Yes.
encourage everyone I can think of, even if they think that they are not good enough. I always try to encourage them and say, listen, just put in the work and you'll be able to get it done.
Yes. Well, if you've been in all those world championship finals, I'm sure the guys are trusting your advice as much as anyone's.
Yeah.
Did you have good mentors, like for a distance runners growing up in Jamaica, like what, who did you look up to, or did you have like, were you kind of a pioneer?
Well, honestly, I didn't have much of mentors when I was growing up, and that's why I try to help others now to mentor them and to speak with them, because if I knew what I knew now then, probably my life would be different, even with college and everything like that. But I had persons, adults around me that look out for me, make sure that I'm doing the right thing. But when it comes on to racing, and I didn't have anyone to tell me, I just go out there and do my thing. God was with me. Yeah, but that's why I try now to reach out to persons and encourage them. Some of them will listen, some won't, because they have other people in their ear. But I hope somebody will listen to me because I've been there and done that,
Yes. Yeah, you've learned every single year for like how many world finals have you been in now? Like 10? I mean, that's such more than
No,
that.
I've been to a lot of worlds, but not so many world finals. I've been in two world finals.
Oh, but world championships, yes.
Yeah, but I've
Okay.
been to since 2013, I've been going to world championships. And that's why I try to speak with, different persons. I try to encourage them and let them know my story because I never made a finals ever at a major championship until 2019. And I've been going since 2013. So I try to use my story to tell them, and hopefully they will take it and listen, So now is my time, and I know, yes, I missed this world finals, but it's not the end of the world. There's more races to go, more championships to go. See how long it's gonna be.
Yeah, and you ran 155 and didn't make the final. I mean, the 800 is just it's a tough event, but
Yes.
you still turned the year into something really special with that time. So you're obviously in good shape. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah, I just think it's a tactics that be messing us up. It's not that we're not capable because the all of us that was in UG for the finals, only three were at World Championship finals. But that's like the field was the best field ever. Everyone in that field is ranked in the top 10 in the world. But it's just that the tactics were different. In our championships, you have to, with me, my heat was the slowest heat. We went out super slow. We went out at 61, but we are capable of running faster than what we did. If we had went out faster, if we had not, tried to run the last 300, just getting running crazy, definitely I would have been in the finals. And I know I would have made it because
Yeah.
I know what I can do.
You've been right there the last few years.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? So like what would set up like your best race? What would it set up as? Going out hard? Like I know you go to the lead a lot of the time. Like what's your favorite way to race? Your favorite
Well,
tactic?
that was the old Gould. I think a lot of persons constantly still thinking that yes, Gould is a front runner. That was a long time ago because that's when you've been like one of the best and you always have to take the front. In high school, in college, like it's gonna take you a while on the pro level to be able to find a different running strategy. And that's what happened to me when I was in high school. I always have to be in the front. When you watch some of the races, I'm like 10, 20 meters ahead of everyone. In college, I had to take the front and lead the race because I wouldn't be able to run the way I would run. And then when I went into the professional world, everyone is running the same as me. So it take a while for me to understand because even though I've been running 800 for years, it still takes a while to get into that. And then these couple of years I changed up my running strategy, but because of what I've been doing, persons keep on saying, "Hey, you're a front runner." But some of the races I go in, I have to take the front if I want to run up fast. Me and my coach are probably working on something, so it might if we go and try to do it, it doesn't work. Then we go back to the drawing book, and then we're able to run a different way. And I think my best strategy was when I run that 155. When I run a couple races like that before, and I run fast as well. Also, when I think when I run 156, even though we were running with Casta, so it was kind of different. But post Casta, I think that was one of my best way of running. Also, when I ran 156.3, which was my third fastest time ever. I think every time when I run fast on 156 is when I actually run the way how I run in Eugene because I have so much speed. If I get out fast, I'm gonna pay for it. And that's what used to happen to me also when I run cross country in college. So I just have to make sure that I sit because I know I have that speed and the strength to run the last part of my race.
Did you have to, was it like kind of scary to wait that late? I know like 800 is different than 5K and the longer distance stuff, but I would always get nervous to wait too late because I would never know if I could outkick people. But sometimes that's the best strategy, and the patient person is the smartest person. So did you have to learn that, or are you always confident that you could close well?
Yes, I'm always confident that I could close her because even in Eugene, I was boxed in a little bit. I couldn't like feel free, which I think that was good for me to just sit there and stay patient and just sit in lane one, in the middle of lane one. That's what I end up doing and just wait patiently. So, but when I was supposed to kick, I wasn't able to like that last 150, I was able to go when I wanted to go because Mary was still there. You know, I think and Keely was already beside each other, so they had to go. So I know that I could have run faster than 1:59. But I was still grateful because I was patient. I was still able to kick home free. That was the first time for the season I finished in 14 seconds, and I finished on the run 58 for the last 400. So that shows that the strength is there. That shows that the speed is there. So I just had to just be patient and know and trust my body, trust my coach, trust God, know that we have done this so many times. Because right before that race that week, I did a split 800 and I basically run did an even pace. So I know I can even run faster than 155 right now.
Is that like one of your late season workouts? You do a split 800?
Well, yes. Definitely, like my coach loved to give me that, you know, just to see what I can do. And that sequence that I did was like the best I've ever done, ever.
Wow. Only getting better. that was awesome to go through this year. We should also give people a little bit of background. I know we should have done this first, but I just wanted to like hear the details from this season. How did everyone's backstory is so interesting. How did you get into running? Like, what was your start? What were the early days like for Natoya?
Okay, so my mom always tell me that I always run to the shops whenever she sent me to buy some goodies. And the only reason why she believed that I went to the shop was because I came back with the items. My family, we are a running family. They didn't get the chance to like accomplish running like, you know, oh, I am accomplishing it now. But like my cousins, my siblings, all of us, we can run. I have a brother that even ran in high school, but due to injury, he wasn't able to accomplish anything with it. But from I was a little girl, because back in Jamaica, from you were a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, because we call it basic school, but it's elementary here in the US. We have sports days where we go and we compete for our school. We compete with each other. And so from I was a little, probably 4, 5, 6 year old, I was running at my basic school. Then I went on to primary school. And when I was in grade 3, my brother, we had a, because we have cross country, but it's not like in the US. We just call run to a certain area, come back, which is not too far. And my brother won the race, and I was second behind him because the way how they do it was that they would set off grade 3. I was in grade 3 at the time. Grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, then grade 6. So nobody was able to keep up with me. And then my brother was in grade 6 at the time, or I think he was in grade 6, and he says, "Spot me." And he run and come and try to stay with me. And while he was running, he was encouraging me, saying not to give up. So he ran and came first, and I came second right behind him. So I was champion girl. And from then, that time until now, you know, I went on to high school. I basically dominate high school in the 800, the 1500, and the 3000. When I was 13, was the first time I became a champion girl at Boys and Girls Champs in Jamaica. I turned 14 that year, but it was after Champs. So I won the 800, the 1500, and the 3000 at the Boys and Girls Championships that year. And I've never lost at Champs. And then I moved on to college. And, you know, I dominate that too, except my last year of college. I lost outdoors, due to, you know, personal stuff. Then I move on to the pro level, you know. So that's how we started out. Just and where I live, you will definitely know why I can run the way I run, because you know we have a lot of hills. We even walk to school sometimes, and we used to run from light post to light post, you know, just for fun. It was really just fun growing up, and me and my cousins coming home from school.
Did your parents run too, did you say? Like, what events were they?
Well, they didn't like get the chance to compete like I did, but they could have run like so I don't know what events they would have been able to run, but I think like they could probably sprint or distance run, because my DNA is like, you know, different. That's why I'm able to do distance, because you know, you have the sprint part, which a lot of Jamaicans get that, because I think a lot of Jamaicans are Nigerians. So you know, we get that sprinting from from West Africa. So for me, I know I have a little bit of East Africa, so that's why I'm able to run the distance races.
Interesting. Can you give anyone advice on, so you followed your college coach to a co you transferred to the junior college to Louisiana
LSU,
State, LSU to Clemson. Was it just to follow your coach, or was there stuff that you like wanted it different done differently? Like, could you give someone looking at colleges like advice on that transition?
Well, definitely it was because of my coach, because he recruited me, as I said, from high school, and my PR going to LSU was 201, but the year when I went to LSU, I got injured that year when I was supposed to transfer to LSU. And before I went to LSU, I did not run fast. I ran probably 209. But right before I went to do school, so right before that, going to trials, I was training, and he made me run 204, like within 1 month. And then the following year, I did cross country. Then the following year was the first time I ran under 2 minutes. I ran 159 to win Jamaica trials. But before that, at nationals, I won the 800 meters as well, in Eugene, when I ran 2 minutes 0.06. So I saw that and his repetition base before I went also, like he was training Sharding Lipsey, and he had a lot of great athletes that passed through LSU. So I know that he was a great coach, and I trust him up until now. So that's why I decided to make the transfer and go with him to Clemson as well. And I did, you know, run faster as well at Clemson. We are low on my PR of 159 to 159.7, which is a school record right now. So I want to 96, and then after that, now I run 155. So I
Crazy.
think I made a great choice. So for those that, you know, either transferring to a school, because a lot of the coaches, they will probably tell you, they look on money. The athletes, they're looking like how much money they can get, but they need to look on the fact that, will I be able to transition to the next level? If you want to transition to the next level, you have to look on the stats of the coach, you know, see what they can do, and not just about the money, because you want to go to a higher level after that, then you have to ensure that you can be able to get sponsors, because a lot of sponsors are not going to take you if you're not proving that you will be able to, you know, make that transition.
I like, yeah, that's valuable too, that he knows you so well and he knows how, like, what works for you. I've been with my coach 15 years too, and I feel like he just knows how we do things at this point. Like, it's really helpful to have that. It's like so valuable to have that time to learn about someone.
Definitely.
So I noticed on your Instagram that there was, I went back a few posts and there was, you had an award and it's listed you as great athlete, but also philanthropist. Can you tell us a little bit, what are your projects? What have you been doing off the track? What is that for?
Well, Well, I like to give back to my community. And so every Christmas I will like have my family and like I have a little team or just my cousin, like, and my aunt. Like I will let them buy some goodies and go and give to persons in the community that need, that are in need. And like I want to start a foundation where I'm able to help persons as well because I love to give back. I give back on the low. A lot of people don't know that because I don't like credits and stuff. When I give just to ensure that I help others. And I want to create a foundation where I can help the less fortunate and even help athletes as well, because a lot of athletes, I grew up not having it and I got help and I'm able to reach my potential now. So I would want that for a lot of athletes because when they come from a certain area in the country, they don't have it. They can't be able to go to school. So I want to be able to reach that point where I can even have a scholarship for, an athlete, so that they can be able to go to school and get to achieve their goals. So yeah, I love to give back, especially last year or the first year when I did it, I was able to do it for Christmas. So I do it for after Christmas, which was in January for the new year. So last year I was able to do it for right before Christmas, and I'm looking forward to doing it this year again so that I can help out, someone that is in need and they will have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome, Natoya. You're like Natoya Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I can't
Yeah.
wait for you to start a foundation. Do you think when you get past the Olympic year, you'll focus on that? If you ever want us to make any announcements for your foundation, let us know. We'll be happy to
Yes,
help.
definitely. Thank you. Me and my team, my PR team, we've been talking about it. Even the other day we had a meeting and we want to start it because I definitely want to for the upcoming school year next year, start that scholarship for an athlete, especially for my high school, to help out an athlete that is in need. But you have to have your little standards as well, to be able to help them. So we're definitely going to go deeper into that, and I will definitely reach out to you, let you announce it so I can have persons on board because sometimes you need sponsors for this to be able to go through. And I really want to make it something that will, reach, far and wide and get grow bigger and bigger to help persons all over the world because I really love to help people and that's one of my desire to be able to do.
I love it. That can be so motivating too.
Yeah.
Because the better you run, the more people you can tell about it. And
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
you know.
Especially in Africa as well, I want to go there as well and
Awesome.
help out.
Awesome. We can't wait to hear about it. If there's any way we can help, we are small. We're smaller than, we have not many followers, but we'll do whatever we can.
Well, I can also spread the word for you guys too.
That's amazing. We love to hear that. So, what are your plans for next year, Natoya, as we close out the podcast? You're on your break. Did you sit down and write down some goals? You guys have a motivating map for next year?
Okay, well, I haven't written down my goals yet, but I have it in my head. I'm just trying to enjoy a little time off first. So starting next week, I'm definitely gonna get back into getting focused before I start training. My goals next year is to even run faster than what I did this year. And it's always a goal to be on the podium. And also just to ensure that I compete well next year. Try to ensure that I run smart. So I often, go in prayer and talk to God about it before my season starts and just try to focus on ensuring that when I step on the track, I'm doing it for His glory and also, to make my family, my coach, everyone, my fans proud. But I just want to go there next year and just, make history for Jamaica.
Yeah,
Make
that's
history for
awesome.
them.
Yep. That's what you've been doing so far.
Yeah,
You're
more
the
history, more history.
last two records, yes. Deep in the history books. Well, it's been great
Yeah.
talking to you. If you have any other things you want to shout out or announce, let us know. And
Thank
we'll
you.
be cheering for you and watching all the meets next year. The Women's 800 is like one of the most like exciting events right now. So really excited to watch.
And I just want to put out there, this season might seem great in the eyes of, persons out there watching, but it didn't start out great this season because I got injured. In January, I was out not being able to train to my full potential from January till the end of March. And then in May, I got in a car accident coming
Gosh.
from the Atlanta City Games. Yes, totaled my car. So it's the grace of God why I'm still here today. And I think because of that accident in June, I went to run a 400 meter in Atlanta. And the Sunday, because I drove down the day of the meet and drove back up. Well, I didn't drove. I traveled with someone. And the Sunday morning, I woke up and my hamstring was numb. And I started to press it right on my hip bone, and I realized that I started feeling some shock in my legs in the IT band, and I started feeling some nerves as well. And so from June all the way to September, I've been having a nerve issue in my left hamstring and my IT band. And right before I run in Bellinzona, that was when the nerve, I start feeling a little better. And so when I run in Eugene, that was the first time I was able to turn over properly running the 800 meters. So for me to be able to have the best, sequence of my career this year, going through all of that, I am grateful because I've never run under 159 so much times, so consistent. The only time I did not run under 159 was at Worlds and the first race I ran this year. So for me to be able to do that is God's grace, and I'm just grateful and thankful, because I couldn't have been here. I could have died in the car accident because I didn't hit anyone. It was my wheel gave out and it just jogged me across the road, and I hid in the railing. And anyone, if someone was in that car, they probably would have been the one that died because it got total. I didn't get a scratch, but I hit it myself onto, the car. So I think that's what caused, my left side, further down in the year to feel the way it is. Like now it's better, but sometimes I will feel a little numbness in my IT band and my quad, but giving God thanks.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know. See, we don't know the backstories. I feel like when you start talking to athletes, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much there. There's so much
Yeah.
depth to your season. So thank God that you were okay. And I can't believe how
Yeah.
fast you eventually ran after that. So.
That's what I was saying. I can't believe all of that happened, and I was still able to run so consistent, under 159 and then 155. And that's why when I mentioned earlier, I said my coach and I knew that I could have done it, when I run 155. And we know that we can even run faster than that as well. So I'm
Yeah.
just grateful.
And anyone who has a less than ideal season, if you pick up an injury or something, like don't necessarily give up. You never know what could happen in a month or two. So
Yeah.
that's an amazing
Yes,
story.
because we thought it was over when
Yeah.
I got I got a stress fracture. That's what I had, and
Oh.
we thought it was over. We thought that, but then, I was like, I can come back because I don't take long to get back into it. So me and my husband, we were talking, and he was like, "You're gonna be fine, because you have so many months before Worlds."
Just trust in the talent and all the miles that you've done in your life up to that point.
Yes.
They're in there. Wow, Natoya, that's an amazing story.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking to us. This was really interesting, and we can't
Thank
wait to
you.
watch you line back up again. But for now, enjoy your rest so you'll get ready
Thank
for
you so much. And I
2024.
also enjoyed watching you run as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we overlapped for a few meets a couple years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Natoya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Keep track, keep track. Keep track, keep track.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.